Let's go to John chapter 1. We're gonna do something just a little slightly different. In our series here of Bible Delight, we're gonna take a little parenthetical message, not to diminish the message itself, but in a Bible Delight series, this doesn't fit exactly. It's more of a sub point. If you're going to look at a systematic theology book or whatever, what we're going to talk about tonight is kind of a one paragraph in a several chapters of Bible Delight. So this could fit under another category a little bit easier, but it goes along with what we're talking about, and that is the Word of God, the Bible itself. We have talked about really the general idea of what we're discussing is revelation of God. How do we know about God? Well, we can know about God through his creation. We looked at that in Psalm 19, first six verses there. We can know about God by looking around and seeing the stars, the planets, and the way the earth has been created, and we can know some things about God. We can also know about God through his law, the scriptures that we have written down, and that's really kind of the Bible Delight bulk of what we're talking about. But there's a third way that we can know about God, and in especially John's writing, the Apostle John, he likes to refer this person to or as the Word of God, and that is Christ himself. So one of the ways that we can know about God is by looking at Jesus, at who Christ was, who Christ is, and what he did, and all of those things. And we see that, and we're not going to dig super deep into some of these passages. If we did, we would be here for weeks. So just remember, this is a parenthetical message, okay? If you want more, then you can definitely get more. But we want to just look at a few passages, a few here in the book of John, and then we'll end up kind of in a couple of verses in Revelation. And so we're just going to take a few minutes. Lord willing, it won't be as long as usual, and I know we'll see how it goes. John chapter 1, hopefully you know where we're going. Verse 1, this is, again, we're talking about the revelation of God, and how do we know about God, and one of those ways is through Christ himself. It says in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." We know from other passages, and we'll look at verse 14 here in a minute, that this Word, this capital W, Word of God, is referring to Christ Jesus. The person of Christ is the Word here, and we're given some interesting insights into Christ himself, but the whole idea here is that, why is the word used? Why is the word logos, that's the Greek word, why is that used? Well, because this is the expression of God. The expression of who God is that we can see, at least in the time of Jesus, they could see and they could touch and they could talk to him. This was the premier expression of God's character and God's essence. And so that's why the word logos is used. And John likes to use this word, this Greek word logos, especially in referring to Christ. But this, in the beginning, was this expression of God. And this expression of God was with God. It wasn't just something that he spoke. It was something that was with him. That wasn't necessarily him altogether, but it was with him. If you have somebody with you, that means by definition that you're not exactly the same person. But the last phrase, the Word was God. So in some respects, this is the same person as God, but it's different. We're not going to go all the way into the hypostatic union of Christ and God. We don't have the mental effort for that, at least I don't for tonight. But just the fact that this is an expression of God himself in the person of Christ. We find out through this verse that Christ himself is the Word. He's the expression. We find out that he's his eternality. This happened in the beginning. This was before anything else was made. God was there and Christ was there. Christ was, the word was even points to being before the beginning. Before anything happened, this Word, who we'll find out as Christ himself, was there. We find out that he's co-equal. He's co-existent with God. He is with God existing at the same time. And this is not, this kind of counteracts the idea that Jesus didn't exist until he was born. Once he was born, then we have the second person of the Godhead. That's not true. What's true is he has existed right there with God from eternity past. And so we also find out that the person of Christ, we find that his essence is God. And that's by the last phrase. And these are things that we may not necessarily be able to understand fully, be able to categorize things and, okay, here's a nice box that this fits in, here's a nice box that this fits in. But these are things that we have to believe. And this the deity of Christ is right here in this verse. And that's something that John is going to develop throughout this book. This gospel of John is really written so that you would believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is God. He claims to be throughout. He proves his deity. He even is really rejected because of his claim of deity. And so to go through the book of John and not understand that Christ claims to be God, he proves himself to be God, and that he is in fact God in the flesh, you have to reject pretty much the whole book to get there. And so that's in this word, this expression of God himself, we see that in Christ. And then we have a little bit more revelation here in verse 14, where we have this word. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And now we know that this Word is Christ, is Jesus, God in the flesh, who dwells among us. And this is the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This is his incarnation. And we talk about the incarnation of Christ, and that's, okay, what does that mean? That means that Christ, as God, came in the flesh, came in bodily form. And it was announced at his birth. His name is going to be what? Emmanuel. That means God with us. That means God himself is going to be with us in a physical way. And that's Christ. And talk about a revelation of God. How do you know about God? Well, if you're living at this time, you go and meet Jesus. That is the way you can know about God. That is the way you can actually see God in the flesh. And it wasn't what people expected. I'm sure if we could meet Jesus face to face, it wouldn't be exactly what we would expect. People missed it. They didn't understand what was going on, but they had indeed the revelation of God himself right there before their eyes. And we have detailed accounts of Jesus's life to give us revelation of who God is through Christ himself. And if you look down at verse 18 in John 1, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time." We know God is a spirit. We don't see that. "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." He has proclaimed him, even by his own life, by his own character, by his own essence, declares God himself to us. God who we can't see, we can read about, we can pray to, we can't see. We see him in Christ himself. And this is just under the category of revealing who God is to us through Christ. How do we know about God? We can know about him through creation, his government of the universe. We can know about him through the scriptures, and we can know about him through Christ himself. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1, same writer, starting verse in that. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen as I read. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life." Capital W, word. And John, in his first epistle, is proclaiming again Christ himself and encouraging by his writing to believe in Christ, to trust in Christ because of who he is and because he is the expression of God to man. And so let's go now to John chapter 14. And I know we have looked at this before, but I just want us to, I don't want to skip over this kind of revelation that we have of God in Christ, because it's very important. It may be a smaller usage in the Bible referring to Jesus as the Word, but I don't want us to not talk about this, even though it's not as big of a point. But John chapter 14, this is there toward right at the end of Jesus's ministry, before his crucifixion, and he is meeting with his disciples in that upper room. I love these several chapters here that cover this, but starting in verse 6 in John 14 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm the way. I'm the one. If you're gonna get to God, you've got to go through me. Also, if you're gonna understand God, you've got to go through me. I am the pathway to both understand and to have a relationship with God. Verse 7. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." So he's basically just stating some facts here. If you've known me, and he's talking to friends here that have been with him for years, that have seen him do all kinds of miracles, and he's saying, okay, if you've known me, then you've known God. You've known the Father. And that's a fact. That's not like if you know some things that I've said, then you can understand God. No, if you know me, if you've seen me, if you've heard me, then you've seen and heard the Father. I am the revelation of God on the earth. It's just kind of mind-boggling that God, the same God who created the universe, would come into a person and be a person that people could talk to, that you could hear from, that you could see works, that walked and got tired and prayed and all of these things, and you can see God himself in the flesh. And he lays it out. Okay, if you've known me, you've known the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 8, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." this kind of cracks me up because I it's like you just didn't quite get it. When Jesus said, if you've known me, you've known the Father. He's like, oh, good. I want to know the Father. Show us. Show us something. As if they hadn't already seen some evidence of God, Christ's deity and all of those things. All right. Just show us something and then we'll be satisfied. It's like hit your forehead and okay, let's figure this out. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? Like, I've been with you for a while. Why are you struggling with this? What is the problem here? And yet, hast thou not known me, Philip? Come on, Philip. I've been with you for a long time. And are you really going to ask this question? Are you really looking for me to give you some kind of a visible sign of what you're asking for? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? I just told you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. There's nothing hidden here. There's not a hidden information that you've missed that you need to get some kind of extra revelation of. If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. How are you asking this question? And then in verse 10, we kind of get the idea of where the link is between seeing Jesus and seeing God himself. And why is there a disconnect for some people? And why does it seem to click for others? And all over the world, people, how they deal with Jesus lets us know what kind of relationship they have with God. Why is it that some people, when you say Jesus is Lord, they just don't get it? Why is it when they say, we just want to see some kind of a sign and we show them Jesus and they don't get it? It doesn't click. They're not seeing God. Well, in verse 10, the first word, I think, clues us in on what the disconnect is. It said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? I think the link is faith. The link is a trust in who Jesus is and what he says and what he does. It's in a faith in his person. Where's the disconnect? It's not a logical thing that we're talking about. It's a heart thing. It's a thing that happens in somebody's heart where they believe. They believe who Jesus is. They believe what he says. And they trust what they see in Christ. And he goes on, he says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. The things I've been saying, those come directly from God. The works that I do, those come directly from God. I'm not here doing my own thing. I'm here saying the things that God says, doing the things that God does. And the link, the reason you haven't seen that yet is belief, faith. For us to get a true revelation of God through Christ, it takes faith. It takes a faith that says, you know what? I don't know how God could come in the flesh and dwell among us, but I believe it. I believe it because the scripture says it. I believe it because of what Jesus did, the kind of miracles he did, and how he really only pointed people to God. And it's a faith in him. That's where this link to us understanding God and seeing Jesus comes in. We can know about God because we can see Jesus. And that takes faith that not everybody has. Not everybody believes this about Jesus, and so they don't get this kind of revelation of God through Christ. And that's That's the really one of the main purposes of John's gospel, is so that you might believe. You might put your faith in Christ himself as the revelation of God. And so Jesus himself exemplifies for us who God is, but also practical things like how to love, how to serve. Jesus exemplifies, because he is the revelation of God, he shows us in a very practical way how to obey. How to obey God, how to even obey the government, how to sacrifice. How are we supposed to live a sacrificial life? And we can pray, God, show us, tell us how we can live a sacrificial life. And what would God's answer be? Look at Jesus. He's my revelation to humanity. Look at him and see how he did it. He exemplifies for us how to lead a group of people, how to confront evil, how to confront sin, how to deal with sinners. He exemplifies for us how to care for people, how to care for lost, how to care for hurting people. He exemplifies to us how to tell the truth. And sometimes that's difficult. And we can see a revelation of God himself. We can pray, and we ought to pray, Lord, show me how to tell this person the truth. And one answer that God could give you is, look at Jesus. If you want the revelation of how I feel about this, or what my input would be, look how Jesus did it. And we have such great account of Jesus' life, his ministry. There's a lot missing. I wish we had from ages 12 to 30. You know, that would be very interesting to me. But what we do have is exactly what we need. If you want to know how to do something, then Christ exemplifies it for us. You want to know how to teach someone, then look at Christ. How to deal with temptation, look how Christ did it. All the things that Christ does reveals to us God's own character and his will and how we're supposed to live. God shows us his ideal through Christ. Jesus shows us God himself. This is really why we must respond with a confession that Jesus is Lord. According to Romans 10:9, this is, if God is the expression, or if Jesus is the expression of God, then the only response is that he has to be our Lord. This is why everyone will eventually confess him as Lord, according to Philippians 2. This is why we must bow to him. He is the very expression, the very word of God in the flesh. And this is why everyone will ultimately bow to him, because of who he is. And this is why we must worship him. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Kind of see one of the last times this expression is used. Romans chapter 19. And again, this is the same writer, the Apostle John, starting in verse 11. And it really is just I could not leave this passage out in discussing the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 11 in Revelation 19 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Who do you think this is? Who's on the white horse? You think it's Christ? Okay, let's see. Verse 12, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. To me, this passage, this vision that John is seeing, there at the end of the world, where Christ himself comes on a white horse, and the clothing that he's wearing, it's a vesture. His clothes are dipped in blood, blood red clothes on a man sitting on a white horse. Very striking picture. And his name is called the Word of God, the very expression of God himself. And you see a contrast with the armies in verse 14. The armies which were in heaven followed upon the white horses, upon white horses, clothed in what? Fine linen, white and clean. You just see the picture of what Christ has come and what he's done for us. And with our communion this morning, I just wanted us to kind of end here understanding that Christ is the revelation of God himself. And part of that revelation is giving us understanding of what God's purpose for us is. His purpose for us is to make us clean, to make us righteous. And how did he do that? How did God accomplish that? He sent his word, and his word shed his blood, so that his vesture is blood red, not just in color, but it was dipped in blood. And this reveals to us really the heart of God. How can we know about God? Well, we can see him in creation. We can see him in the scriptures, but we can see him very, very clearly in the person and work of Jesus Christ. When we look at Christ, we ought to be looking for God himself, because this Jesus really is the premier expression of God. And to know God, if we want to know God, all we have to do is look at Christ. And if we want somebody else to know God, if we want somebody else to come to know the God that we worship, what do? We introduce them to Jesus. We show them the premier revelation of God himself and his character. We worship Jesus, we point others to Jesus, and we know and love Jesus. Why? Because he's the premier expression of God himself. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Christ to live a perfect life, to die a sacrificial death, to pay the atoning price for our sin. We thank you that he was willing to shed his blood so that we can be clean, so that we can be white as snow. We pray that you would help us to glorify you, glorify Christ, point others to Christ, and help us to worship Christ in spirit and in truth. And we pray these things in Christ's name, based on what he's done for us. Amen.